Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Prince of Peace. Now, it might go without saying that during this time of year, one of the things we want more than anything else is peace. We want peace in the world. We want peace in our neighborhood. We want peace within our own families. And surely we want peace within our own hearts. But peace is what we want. And wouldn't that be nice? Peace. Even if we can't have it all year, if we can just have it for a few weeks, at least we'll have a chance to lay our troubles and our worries and our stresses aside and just bask in the glory of peace. Is that too much to ask for? Peace? Perhaps you've heard the story of the Christmas truce. Those of you who have friended me on Facebook, I posted a very lengthy clip of that incident that occurred during World War I in December of 1914. Germans entrenched on one side, the Allied forces, namely the British and the Scottish, on the other. And Christmas had come, and the Germans had placed candles along their trenches and decorated trees for Christmas. And they were singing the great Christmas hymns in German. The trenches were not far apart, and so the Allied forces began to sing in kind the same hymns in their native tongue of English. And when the songs had ended, they began to shout back and forth Christmas greetings to one another, until finally one of the German soldiers came out of the trench and said, "Merry Christmas," in broken English. "If you don't shoot, we won't shoot." And slowly and surely, wearied British soldiers began to emerge from their trench, and the two sides met in that space between the trenches known as no man's land. Artillery shells stopped. The front was silent as these British and German forces began to mingle among one another. Men who had just hours before had been shooting at one another, now there was a sense of peace that overcame the battlefield. Some reports that the two sides broke into a friendly game of soccer. Others reported that one platoon hosted a pig roast for their enemies. And a truce provided a great opportunity to gather the dead that were scattered on the field and to be able to bury them. And many of those funerals took place together. It's a rare moment of peace in a war that claimed more than 15 million lives before it was all said and done. How many of you would love to experience peace? I mean, real peace. Peace with your neighbor. Peace within your own family. To put all the disagreements aside, if just for a moment, to have togetherness and tradition without fighting and animosity. And we think to ourselves, if we can be done for one day, why can't we do it for the whole year? Why can't we experience that peace year-round? Isn't it possible if we just try a little harder? Isn't it possible if I can just convince my lousy, lying, no-good neighbor of mine that I'm right and he's wrong? If he would just apologize, I'd forgive him. And then we would have peace. You know what I mean? You see, peace can't be achieved by covering up our problems and just pretending that they really don't exist. That's not peace at all. That's called a truce. Which is what we tend to do this time of year, don't we? The calls are made, the Christmas dinners are scheduled, and we just kind of say, you know what, I can stand them for about a few hours. Then I'll look for my wife and I'll begin to twirl my finger in the air saying it's time for us to leave. A truce is long enough. Let's not get overly loving here. But wait a minute. See, peace achieved in a world when we cover up a problem, there's no peace at all. It's not peace, it's a truce. And we know it quickly is broken. See, we have a broken when that same old problem rears its ugly head again after the calendar flips over to a new year. Or when you look at someone the wrong way, or the matter of fact, if you have resentment in your heart and those old feelings just won't subside, the peace is short-lived. In our end of the year, holiday truce is broken and we wind up back where we were before, if not even worse. Yet tonight we remember, right in the midst of all of our brokenness, right smack dab in the midst of our broken truces in our broken and elusive chasing after peace and in our broken lives, there comes a one who is peace. Actually, he's more than peace because the Isaiah called him the Prince of Peace. And if he's a Prince of Peace, he has rule and he has authority. See, Jesus Christ, contrary to popular belief, did not come to bring peace, for he is the one that not only gives peace and establishes peace, but Jesus Christ came in his flesh and blood that we may have peace everlasting. Peace outside of Christ is no peace at all. Peace in which the angel saying of the Prince of Peace, Jesus, was this: glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. It's a peace that the world simply cannot understand. For you and I know who Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is. He is that child born in Bethlehem, a child born for you and for me, but not just any child, mind you. Did you hear the wondrous thing said about Jesus, this Prince, by St. Paul I read just a moment ago? He's the Creator. Creator of all things, the things that were created by Him and for Him, and He literally holds them all together. So apart from Him, it all falls apart. He who is now born in time was before all things. All the fullness of God, not just part of God, but all of His fullness dwells in this child. He is truly the Prince of Peace, come to reconcile sinful man to our Heavenly Father, providing peace for eternity. And so the peace this Prince establishes, rules, and gives was no bloodless peace. It's no live and let live peace. It's no we'll just agree to disagree peace. It's no wink wink peace. It's true and lasting peace. For the Prince of Peace would come to shed His blood for our sin that we may have forgiveness forever. Jesus Christ came into the world to face our enemies of sin, death, and the devil, and to provide victory for you and me over them that we may have peace eternally. Our sin, our guilt, and our death, our enemies want so much to divide us from God and make us enemies of Him and swallowed up the Prince of Peace. It appeared forever at the cross. But on the third day, the tomb was empty and we found out who the true Prince is. When Jesus greeted His disciples, what was His first words? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. And so it is with you and me. True peace, not because we're at peace with God, but that God is at peace with you and me. For our Prince of Peace has reconciled us to the Father. We need not fear that, well, this is only a truce and sooner or later it'll wear out and God's going to come looking for me. The truth of the matter is we have peace with God. Lasting peace. I like when it says, in His peace there will be no end. Don't you love that? To His peace there will be no end. We can make a lot of that, which means that His forgiveness there will be what? No end. His mercy there will be what? No end. His love there will be what? No end. And His peace has no end. It's established. And he gives us that peace how? Through his word and through his sacraments. See, his peace that lives even in the midst of the brokenness of our everyday lives. He is in a peaceless world. The Prince of Peace came into our world to redeem us. Well, as we continue our journey through this Advent season, and it just seems like hours away, we celebrate the birth of Christ. Let us remember who he is. The Prince of Peace, who came to give you peace. Amen. And may the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We rise together.